point borrow.
That's
tape. That's tape. The elders were trying to tell him the different. The different approaches to the weather and so forth and so on. They were telling him correctly, but he told them that's all superstition. White man knows better. I guess now the white man can say that he knows better with his instruments and so forth.
But
the elders with their supernaturalism and
the stories just get worse.
They believe in spirits. They knew better than the white man then. Mm-hmm. But the white man told them they're just superstition. Yep. That's my nurse, my lover.
Jeez, don't you dare put that in the paper. Tell him, Jay.
He's quite the kidder, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. You're terrible. I'll see you Friday for your birthday.
All right.
Cakes.
Already had my birthday.
But aren't you having a special thing Friday?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you get my birthday card for you?
Yes, ma'am. I thank you.
Well, I'll see you later.
Bye.
See you. Bye.
Bye, you all. Let me see. What else can we talk about? I still have more tape.
Okay, I'll get the car and bring it.
Someone said that you used to paint pictures.
Huh?
Someone said you used to paint pictures. Did you paint, artist?
Yeah, I dab a little bit. I'll show you. She had me do it.
Oh, that's cute. Oh, here, we're tangled up. There we go. This is Nancy Haig interviewing Daniel Boone Reed at the Senior Care Center in Kodiak, Alaska on December 10th, 1994. Now it's starting. Okay, if you wouldn't mind, could we start by you repeating your name again and when you were born?
I was born December 9th, 1908. And I was born twins, mixed twins. My mother didn't have enough milk for two. They were living at Chihuahua. It was a landing port for the miners at Candlestick and Butler. My grandmother was visiting, but my mother, when she was having me and my sister. When she didn't have enough milk for two, my grandmother bundled me up and took me to her home in Buckland. But a week before I was born, there was a woman who lost her child. She became my nursemaid. And when I was the natives the firstborn son became grandma's son. And it was habitual to when the son grew up would take care of grandma. So she wouldn't be put in a nice igloo to die at old age. Yes, that was one of the natural with the natives when in the 1900s, early 1900s, late 1800s, they were still practicing it.
Could you tell me?
Then when I was about 9 years old, I was born, my father was 50 years old. And when I was about 9 years old, my mother insisted that I visit the native elders. Visit the native elders and learn supernaturalism for self-survival. You really can talk with a person on the other side of the earth if you concentrate and subject yourself to it. You can talk with the animals. A wolf will tell you when a herd of caribou is coming and in what direction.
Oh. Okay.
A bird flying will also, you can visit with them and make a deal with them to tell you where best that you should be as a friend, and they would need to help you survive.
When you were growing up, what animals did you hunt? What animals were hunted?
Rabbits and trapping, fur-bearing animals that would be mink and muskrats and things like that. You could bargain with them.
All right,
with the spirit world. They believed in the spirit world and as I grew up, they told me of a story of a crybaby. It would float like a light, a glowing light ball going down a river. That I told my father after I heard the story. He said, "Well, that sounds like an owl roosting in a tree over a spring."
Huh.
The spring would be something like I guess it would be causing a glow on the feathers.
Oh, huh. That looked like a glowing light.
Yeah.
Going down there.
And
all you gotta do is heat it up.
When I told my father of the story.
And you know, let's just dump that wax in everything.
Yeah, that was the owl hunting. I'm making a noise to disturb in the moonlight rabbits along feeding on the willows.
That rack needs to be on the bottom, so you pull the wax out.
And the storyteller says you could put your thoughts on the wing of that bird and follow that bird on its maiden flight or any other flight to its extension. And he says a bird does not stay on the ground like we do. They defy gravity. And your thoughts can defy gravity. You can send your thoughts wherever your desire, and you have the ability to send your thoughts to. He sent his thoughts to the moon in a sea mammal's stomach.
Hmm.
And I was listening to the radio when the astronauts went to the moon, and it reminded me of that native telling he had gone to the moon his thoughts had gone to the moon in a sea mammal's stomach.
Yes.
Then when I was 9 years old, my father said he lived in Montana, and he had a wife and three young daughters. The third third daughter born, they all got whooping cough. So mother was traveling back and forth to the small town, cow town in Montana. He told me the name of it, but I never could remember whether it was some funny name or what. And he said the town gambler would meet her every time she came in. And the results of meeting her caused a breakup. She divorced my father and married the gambler. And so the gold rush in Alaska was on, and so he worked through mining camps in Idaho and Washington timber work. Then when there was a sailing ship sailing to Alaska was men and women to the gold fields while he went along.
So this was your stepfather then that you're talking about now?
That's my real father.
Oh, your real father. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So he went up, did he go to when he first came up to Alaska?
Yeah.
Did he go to Nome?
I guess he was in Fairbanks and Iditarod. And Nome and Candle Creek.
Mm. And you were still in Montana at this time then?
He got a divorce from his wife.
Oh.
And then he held an auction and sold everything. Mm. With having to a lawyer from Canada write up a soldier's grant. According to the Indian law, Indian wars and so forth, they drew up a soldier's grant of $25,000 to educate his children. But he had one daughter left.
Does he have the other car?
It was stipulated in the soldier's grant in case he married again, it would educate his children. And it couldn't be used for anything else.
Hmm.
But to advance education. And the stipulation was in accord to the English law. The English law stipulates an inheritance to the oldest son. I'm the oldest son. The United States government accepted that. And all my life, from 9 years old, he has told me three times. He told me when I was 9 years old, he told me when I was 12, and he told me when I was 17, my mother was dying. I'm under the impression that you don't tell a person at a deathbed a story unless it was true.
Right.
And due to the fact that we moved from Kotzebue to a central part of Iowa, the teacher at a country school put me back 1 year in school.
How old were you when you were put back?
I had 7 years of schooling in Alaska.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Instead of putting me in the eighth grade class, she put me back 1 year. Still okay. Have to do the 7 years over.
Okay.
And that little incident alone was one of the factors of revenge. It stipulated the feeling of discrimination.
Okay. Now, what town was this again when you were put back a grade? What town were you living in?
That was in 1920.
Uh-huh. What town were you living in? What town were you living in then?
We were out in the country in Illinois Grove.
And that's in Illinois?
Illinois Grove, Iowa.
Oh, Iowa.
When Iowa was a territory, the French, it was a French territory.
Mm.
And Kankakee, Illinois was Indian reservation.
Okay.
And my grandfather married a quarter breed Indian and moved to Iowa when Iowa was still a territory, and there was...
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Due to the fact that I was put back in school 1 year, it went against the grain of good feelings and so forth. Due to that feeling, I could notice even with my friends in school that of discrimination in their thoughts, in their feeling, in their association. And when my mother died, my father was left with small children. The youngest one was 6 months old. And I got to thinking, maybe if I went out on my own, it would ease a burden for my father. But it didn't.
Mm.
It didn't. And instead, there was always a hint from future acquaintances that maybe I should have gone to college. But I don't know, a little past 9 years old, I begin to notice discrimination feelings with my associates, even with my native relatives.
Huh. What are you Aleut on your mother's side?
My mother was an Eskimo.
Oh, Eskimo, okay. that helps, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I came to Kodiak in 1937, and I married an Aleut and Russian mixture and lived on Fognak a couple three years.
Was that the village of Afognak you lived in? The village of Afognak?
Yeah.
What year was this? It'd be 1938 to 40, along in there.
1938-39. Okay. 1940 I went to prison. Okay. And I served 8 years in prison, came back here. I like Kodiak for its climate, especially after 1964 Tustamina. Kodiak warmed up.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
You used to have more snow?
See, the only time there was a lot of snow was somewhere in 1951 or 1952, I guess. That's the last time there was a lot of snow.
Oh, wow.
Out at West Point, must have been about 3 to 4 feet of snow.
Yeah.
We had livestock out there, and goats and sheep had to put in their shovel a pathway for them to get down into the brush where they could browse. Well, that's about all I can tell you of myself, other than lately I've had a major operation. I had a research of my colon, mm-hmm, down in Florida where I was living, and there was situations came up that it was better for me to come back here where I could get medical attention from the natives.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had a major operation since I came back in July, and it took me 4 months to heal.
Oh, yeah.
They diagnosed cancer in my intestines.
Oh.
And so the operation was to take out some of that infection. And I've had a nurse put in there every day for 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
Then they cut it down to a nurse 3 times a week. Now I only get a blood pressure test down.
Well, you must be pretty good now, though.
I feel a little weak at times. And I walk across the street a time or two for exercise.
Oh, yeah.
Otherwise, I'm hopeful that I can live another year.
Oh, yes. You know what's really interesting to me is your life in the village when you were growing up, when you were very young. What the children were taught, and I know I have some friends that are Tlinkits, and they said there with them the uncle raises the son usually.
Yeah.
And I just wondered, is that the way it is when you were growing up?
When I was growing up, they still believed in spirits, and I myself think they were correct.
Mm-hmm.
For I have the I was taught, and I do have some ability.
Do you believe that you would have to grow up close to nature in order to...
My father was old.
Uh-huh.
My mother insisted I learn it.
Oh.
Who
taught you how to communicate with the spirit world, with the animals?
It was done by storytelling.
Okay.
like the thoughts, put your thoughts on the wings of a bird and so forth and so on. Or you're talking to an uncle that the spirit had been adopted by a weasel or a mink or a muskrat or a rabbit or a flying bird. You can talk to them. You really can hear them. Sometimes you can even see the outline of them as a shadow image.